absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this is show number 128, coming to you from Denmark. In this show, we're going to be taking you to Nigeria, the Netherlands, France, and the US. One of the great things about the internet is the niche marketing it allows. One example of this is the radio show Culture Shock, Nigerians in America, on Splash FM in the US. This is also a podcast. It's billed as a new talk radio show connecting Nigerians in Nigeria to Nigerians in America. And it's hosted by Abimbola Ishola and Kunle Ayodeyi. Here's the intro to show number 21, which we'll be hearing more of later.
As usual, you'll hear from some cool Nigerians on the show today. Our Houston correspondent, Ashley Adeniran, recently spoke to Sheyi Brown, a Nigerian comedian who has a new comedy series that airs on the Africa Channel. He's super funny, so you don't want to miss that. You'll also hear from a few Nigerians about what shocked them when they first moved to the United States. But first, I want to chat a bit about that.
You can hear more at cultureshocknigerians.com, and we'll be bringing you a couple of tasters later. We'll also be hearing from Philip Brzezinski, intercultural coach for international business, presenting his thoughts about why the coaching approach works in intercultural situations, and later talking about some of the cases he's dealt with. I'd also like to say hi to Nina Liakos in Maryland, who interviewed me about a week ago about this podcast as part of her efforts to learn about how to podcast, with the help of the EVA Online sessions sponsored by TESOL every year in January. Nina, you did a fantastic job. It was a pleasure talking to you and very relaxing to be the interviewee for a change. I've added a link to Nina's interview on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can add comments about the show, add your experiences, or offer to contribute. So let's start the show with our slot, Absolutely Nigerian, by hearing from show number 21 of Culture Shock Nigerians, when they asked about the types of experiences and impressions that newly arrived Nigerians to America had.
But anyway, guess what? We've got some shock drops from a few people we spoke to. So listen to what they had to say about what shocked them most about life in America when they first got here.
My name is Kemi Ogunkala.
So what was the one thing that shocked you about life in America when you first got here?
The first thing was the questions that they asked me. They asked me, are Nigerians, you know, do they climb on trees? Or, you know, do they, you know, like they thought we were animals. They thought that there's no house there. So it was just their mentality of being so brainwashed. And then also the certain skin tone. They think that if you're African that you have to be really, really black, or just certain mentality that they're washed, you know, they're brainwashed their minds.
My name is Bumi Moses. I felt like I was going home to Nigeria and going to school in America. So there was a little bit of a daily culture shock for me growing up here in the States. But you figure it out, you work it out, and you make it happen.
What was the first thing that shocked you when you moved to America?
Nothing shocked me. I mean, because I'd been here. So it wasn't like a shock. The difference is you kind of do a little better when you're back home too.
How so?
Because I want boys to
Okay, I picked up a little bit of that. Can you translate?
Yeah, before we hosted. Now they come to host us.
Yes, that tells you there's money.
Bad money in Nigeria.
Yeah.
I'm going back.
The first time you came to the U.S., did you experience any culture shock?
When I came to this country, but I came here in 1969. That's a long time ago. And by that time, everybody was hiding as Nigerians. Nobody wanted to be known as Nigerians. But today, we thank God that we are all proud Nigerians.
You can hear more by going to cultureshocknigerians.com where you'll find all the shows to date since it started last autumn. Thanks to Caller Odutola, who alerted me to the show, and to the producers for allowing us to bring you snippets. Now, if your interest in intercultural matters is academic, you may be interested in a doctoral summer school open to any PhD student in the field, which is going to take place in Denmark in early July at Roskilde University. It's called Identity and Interculturality, and will feature some of the greats in the field, such as Michael Byram and Claire Cramsch. The 5-day summer school will concentrate on research methods and costs only €50. The deadline to apply is February the 28th, and you can find a link on our blog to find out more. Thanks to Fred Dervin for alerting me to that, and he's also one of the conveners of the summer school, which will take the form of lectures, workshops, and round tables. Another way of learning, which is becoming very popular these days, is through coaching. Our next slot features Philip Brzezinski, who gave an hour-long webinar on his experiences as an intercultural coach. The webinar was organised by CETAR, and that's the Society for Intercultural Education, Training and Research. And you can enjoy the whole webinar on their website for free. In the first extract, Absolutely Universal, we'll hear how Brzezinski needed to adapt the coaching approach so that it was a little less American.
I've had the chance to work for several years as a coach and realized after a while that a lot of theories in coaching were coming from the United States, and there was this assumption that somehow coaching made in USA could apply universally. For example, I'm a member of the ICF, the International Coach Federation. They have a list of supposedly universal competencies, and one of them is direct communication. Many of you, you know, specialists in interculturalism, know that if we were to use this in Asia, in particular, for example, in Japan, that may not be the best way to coach, to assume that people will expect direct communication. So the idea for me was to integrate, I was wondering how to integrate culture systematically into coaching, recognizing that coaching made in USA is not universally applicable. The goal of coaching across cultures is twofold. One is to help people work more effectively across cultures. That's the first objective. But the second goal, perhaps even more fundamentally, is about helping people go beyond their cultural limitations and learn from other cultures, not just to adapt to different cultures, but to grow as well as individuals. Particularly when we are stuck, it is useful to learn from other cultures, for example, different ways of communicating, different ways of organizing ourselves, different ways of managing time, and so on, that can help us find new solutions. So if you see this definition of creativity, coaching across cultures is really meant to be a more creative form of coaching by being able to find new ideas inspired by other cultures. So coaching across cultures, the idea in coaching across cultures is to treat cultural differences not so much as a problem. Yes, cultural differences can often cause frustration, but as an opportunity to unleash more human potential by tapping into the richness that lies in cultural diversity. When I talk about coaches, I'm not only referring to professional coaches, I'm also referring to managers, for example, who use coaching as a style of management, as a style of leadership, and really I'm referring to anyone who is committed to help unleash people's potential. So coaching across cultures, a more creative, powerful form of coaching, a more complete form of coaching.
Later on, we'll hear about a case when Brzezinski applied his coaching skills. But right now, let's return to Culture Shock Nigerians and hear from a Nigerian comedian, Sheyi Brown, and his experience of coming to the US in 2008.
When did you come to America?
I got here in the summer of 2008.
And how was it? Was it like the movie Coming to America, you know, meeting the American girl and dating and getting your first fast food job?
let me tell you, my American Express is totally and absolutely like coming to America. It's just, I didn't have to do like a fast food job at all. I was lucky in the sense that my wife is an actress in Hollywood. We actually met in Nigeria, not even in America. She came on tour in Nigeria and we met. So, you know, I didn't have to do all those kind of, you know, she got my back, you know. So, yeah, so while I was doing that, so I had the time to work on my, you know, comedy routine, start working it up until, you know, I'm where I am right now and I'm still, you know, like going somewhere.
What was your biggest culture shock when you came here?
The fact that white people would just wake up in the morning and they would be running for no reason. Running in all in the name of exercise. You just see them on the streets, they are running. That gives me the creeps, because you know, where I come from, where you see an elderly person run, it's a sign that they are either running after somebody or somebody's running after them, or they've lost their mind. Whichever way, you don't want to stop where you see somebody running. Then let me see. Yeah, technology. Yeah, it was a big, you know, I mean, technology is like a way of life. You know, you can't live without technology in America. Now, the fact that you see light that runs 24/7 without blinking, that bothers me. I had to get used to it.
What do you think is the biggest misconception that Nigerians have about America or Americans?
That money grow on the street. Like, you just get to America and, you know, they just say, hey, here are the dollars, take it. People, that's a wrong impression. Totally and absolutely wrong.
Money don't work for the money, right? What misconception do you think that Americans have about Nigerians or Africans?
They think that all Africans are going through war. All Africans are hungry. That some of us cannot even speak English. I've seen people asking me, oh, you speak English so well. I said, excuse me? I'm a college graduate, man. I went to Nigerians on Harvard, University of Ibadan. Come on, man. And sometimes they say, oh, you're from Africa. Have you eaten? I'm like, I'm from the sixth largest exporter of oil. My country got money. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they just think that we're still jungle people. They think I have a spear somewhere. They think I have sleep with lions. And I have tigers as my pet. And my middle name is Shambalaya.
Remember that you can hear the full show, as well as many others, on cultureshocknigerians.com. Philip Rosinski, who we heard earlier, has written books about intercultural coaching. The latest one is called Global Coaching, while the earlier Coaching Across Cultures describes the tool he's developed to help individuals and teams find out their strengths and weaknesses in the intercultural area. You can try out the individual tool for free by clicking on the link on our website. What it does is highlight your preferences in terms of a whole range of orientations such as hierarchy, multitasking, formality, and communication styles, and compares them to your abilities in those areas. In a team situation, it would help, for example, to discover if half your team preferred to multitask, while the other half are expecting you to give them tasks one at a time. The orientations are those which tend to differ in different cultures, and build on the ideas of the pioneers in intercultural communication such as Hofstede and Edward T. Hall. I tried the test and discovered that I might have difficulty working in a very hierarchical setting, for example. Let's hear now, in Absolutely Mixed, how Rosinski could apply the results of the test to a team of Dutch and French employees involved in a merger.
I was invited together with some colleagues to work with two firms. It was a Dutch firm and a French company, and they decided to go into a strategic alliance. Well, on the one hand, you have many similarities between the two companies, but also differences. When you have similarities, there is good news and bad news. The good news is that, you know, it's going to be easier for them. In this case, they all had a preference for scarce time. It made it easier for them to work together, but there was the risk of overlooking the possibility to take more time. And part of the lesson for them was to devote time, for example, on building relationship, also devote time, rather than trying to do too many things that was monochronic versus polychronic, they started to focus on a much smaller number of projects. So this is something they learned from doing this exercise. But through this exercise, that also showed some differences. And what we tried to do was to say, there is not one company that has it right and the other that has it wrong, but the message was that you can both learn from each other. For the French, the idea was to engage in more empowerment. That is what they could learn from the French. And in fact, that was part of the top executive's agenda. One of his goals was, in this alliance, was to invite his staff to see another culture and to learn from that other culture. So he used that alliance as an opportunity to change some of the practices in the French company. But for the Dutch, there was an opportunity for them to engage in constructive politics, because sometimes, you know, they would just say what they had to say and offend people and not be very effective as a result. This was a typical problem that the French had, and the Dutch were very frustrated about that. In a meeting, they would say, this is a great idea. This is a meeting with an integration team, a really great idea, a breakthrough for our alliance. But now you have the French people that have to, they cannot make the decisions on their own. They have to go to their management to present the idea, and then their manager goes to another manager, and then finally that manager goes to the top management. And by then, you know, many crucial details are lost, and the idea is simply thrown away. We had an instance where one participant said, by chance, he was able to see the top guy. They were in a plane together, and he used that. He mustered the courage to talk to the top manager and to explain what the idea was about. And an idea that had been previously rejected was accepted by the top person because he was able to speak to the specialist. Well, let me show you another example, active reflective. I won't go into the details here, but as you would expect, the French, one of the harsh challenge for them, they were slow to take action. They like to think about it, and for the Dutch, they just like to take action. So the coaching question for these groups, two set of questions. Do we really need to spend all this time reflecting on the subject before taking action? That would be a question for the French people. And for the Dutch, shouldn't we reflect further on this subject before trying a concrete solution?
Remember that you can hear the whole webinar on the CETAR website, and you'll find the link to that on our blog. Thanks to CETAR and Philip Rosinski for allowing me to include extracts in today's show, and thanks also to Culture Shock Nigerians for allowing me to bring a taste of their show to you too. You'll find all the links on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. And don't forget that we'd also love to hear from you if you want to take part. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on February the 18th with Laura Borgmann. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.